now. You know, we don't stone people, you know, if they're breaking the Sabbath, you know. That's been abolished. You know, God will deal with all that in the judgment. But as it's clearly outlined here, it's a perpetual covenant, and it's a identifying sign between God and the children of Israel. And people say, well, that's just for the nation of Israel. No, it's not speaking about just physical Israel. It's speaking about spiritual Israel, which is the church as well. It's speaking about both. It's a perpetual covenant for all of Israel, both the physical and spiritual Israel. And it goes on to say, and for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. On the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now let's continue. Let's go to Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 27. Again, it's Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 27. As it states here, and it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have ye never heard, or never read, rather, what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the priest, high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And he goes, let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 11 through 12. Matthew 12, verse 11 through 12. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than sheep? Wherefore is it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? So what he was basically explaining to the scribes and the Pharisees is that, listen here, you know, if your sheep fall into a pit, you're going to lift them out on the Sabbath day. You know, so how are you condemning somebody for doing good in relation to maybe helping a man or healing a man or something along those lines? But yet you're condemning, you're getting your sheep out of a pit on the Sabbath, but you're condemning them for doing good that regards human beings who have much greater price in God's eyes. You know, so it's just complete hypocrisy. What Christ is emphasizing here is that it's not a sin or evil to do too good on the Sabbath. But in events like that, like with an event, if the sheep fell into a pit and you got them out, you have to obviously go back to keeping the Sabbath as it should be kept. If you see somebody in distress, maybe a person is in a car accident, maybe you're in the house on the Sabbath and you hear a car accident out in front of your house. The car is totaled. Maybe the car is flipped upside down. The person screaming for help. You know, it's your obligation to go out there and help that person, even on the Sabbath. God is not going to hold that against you, you know, because you're doing good on the Sabbath. It's not evil to do good on the Sabbath. It's not wrong to do good on the Sabbath. Now let's continue. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 17. Matthew 19, 16 through 17. As it states here, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. All right, now Christ, once again, even emphasizing the importance of keeping the commandments. All right, now we've already outlined another way you identify false prophets. They don't keep the Sabbath. That's God's identifying sign. It proves that these are his people. You know, they don't keep the Sabbath. Another way. This is another way. They don't keep his commandments. They're not keeping God's commandments. They're not of God. They're not God's people, not his prophets, his ministers, his servants. You know, God, you know, the Bible goes as far as telling us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, that if a man says that he knows Christ and keeps not his commandments, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. You know, it goes on to say some other things, but the key point is that if he doesn't keep the commandments and says that he knows Christ, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. Many other verses support that. You know, I could have added numerous other verses, but the audio would have just been too long and have been difficult to add it to the site. All right, let's go over that again. Matthew 19, 16 through 17. And behold, one came unto him and said or one came rather and said unto him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may enter, or may I have that I may have eternal life?" Getting a little tired here. And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." So Christ told the gentleman, young man, if you want to receive eternal life, you have to keep the commandments. Why is that so important? Because, again, you're going to be judged by those commandments and the word. You know, the Bible tells us that in Revelation. You're going to be judged by the commandments and the word. You know, if you found to be, you know, have been, you know, just trampled all those commandments, that's going to be held against you. You know, the Bible tells us that the man that despises the commandments shall be destroyed. I'm pretty sure that's in Proverbs. In the Proverbs or Psalms. He that despises the law or the commandments, he shall be destroyed. If you're trampling all over God's commandments in the eyes of God, that's a sign that you hate him. Your actions dictate that. Let's go to Mark chapter 7, verse 7 through 9. As it states here, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Christ is saying that you worship him in vain. Now, how could you be any more blunt and direct than that? Christ is saying you're wasting your time worshiping me. If you teach for doctrines the commandments of men and you lay aside the commandments of God, and instead you hold the traditions of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, "Full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition." Christ said, if you do that, you're wasting your time. You worship him in vain. But that's consistent with verses in Scripture and from Matthew and other verses where Christ, when he comes back, people are going to say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name?" And he's going to say, "Get away from me, you workers of iniquity, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. You don't know me, and I don't know you. Get away from me before you upset me." You know, I mean, that's how it's pretty much it's going to be, you know. But, I mean, that's not surprising because he tells you right here in Mark chapter 7, verse 7 through 9, that you worship him in vain if you don't keep his commandments, if you reject his commandments. So false ministers and teachers tell you that keeping the commandments is legalistic. God, Jesus Christ, the prophets, the apostles, all say you have to keep the commandments. False prophets say it's legalistic. You don't have to keep them. False prophets say, don't believe the Bible, believe me. True teachers, true prophets and apostles say, don't believe me, believe the word of God. Let's continue. Let's go to John 14, 15 through 17. Excuse me. John 14, 15 through 17. As it states here, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. In other words, they don't obey him. Like the Bible says, you're not known of God unless you keep his commandments and do what he says do. God don't even know you. So, but again, it's confirmed in these verses, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Once again, Christ telling us the importance of keeping the commandments, saying that you have to keep the commandments to receive the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. False ministers tell you that keeping the commandments is done away with and is legalistic. Christ, God, the apostles and prophets say you have to keep the commandments. Let's continue to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, rather than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So, it goes on to say, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Yeah, how true is that? Dogs eating their own vomit. You know, when I first saw that, I was kind of shocked. I saw that as a child. Dog threw up and just slopped it, you know, right back up, you know. Vomited or just the water, whatever that was, and he just, it's delicious, you know. I mean, so true. Dog turned right to his own vomit, you know. But what Peter is emphasizing in these particular verses, he's saying that it would be, have been better for them if they had not known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Again, the importance of keeping the commandments. All right, now Peter also says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 through 16, that these individuals that he's speaking about in this particular verse, many who have had fallen away from keeping the commandments because they had misinterpreted Paul's teachings, his writings, and they believe that to mean that the commandments and the word was done away with, like many of these other false ministers who are unlearned and are teaching that to millions of people and deceiving them and misleading them. So they was thinking along those same lines. So they stopped keeping the commandments. But Peter is saying here it had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness rather than to have known it and then turn from the holy commandment. And that's further confirmed in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. Where Peter says that these people wrestle with the epistles of Paul, and they do that to their own destruction. In other words, they twist the epistle twist the epistles of Paul to mean that, you know, he was promoting rebellion against the commandments, and that's not true at all. You know, but if you're not learned and thoroughly versed in God's word, it can appear that way. You know, but you have to be really knowledgeable about God's word and allow the Bible to interpret itself, not apply your own personal interpretation to it. And if ever in doubt, always refer back to what Jesus Christ and God taught. You know, if you're having trouble with Paul's epistles and think that's what they're referencing, well, then don't believe that. Don't believe Paul. Go back and reference what God and Christ taught, because Paul is just a servant. He doesn't have the authority or power to do away with God's commandments. Only Christ and God can do that, and they never did, as we've outlined in previous audios. And let's go to, once again, the prophets, the apostles, God and Christ emphasize the importance and absolute necessity of keeping God's commandments. False ministers say don't keep them. They're legalistic and they've been done away with. Let's go to Isaiah 61, verse 8. Isaiah 61, 8. Excuse me. As it states here, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make an everlasting covenant with them. All right. Now, false ministers and teachers say don't judge. Don't be judgmental like that. You know, that's not love. But God says that he loves judgment. He hates robbery for burnt offering and will direct their work in truth and will make an everlasting covenant with them. Let's go to Matthew 7, 1 through 5. And this is how they misinterpret the judgment command. You know, so they say, well, listen, you shouldn't judge, because the Bible condemns it. And that comes from, again, gross biblical misinterpretation, primarily about these two upcoming verses here. As this, Matthew and verses in Romans. But as it states here, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. It goes on to say, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, consider it not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how would those say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. So this is in the context where judging is condemned, when you judge a person and you're filthy and guilty yourself. So you are immersed in sin yourself. Your brother has a mote in his, and you have a whole tree trunk in your eye, and you're trying to tell the brother and guide and direct the brother, but you're living in absolute defiance of God's word yourself. This is when you're considered a hypocrite, and this is the context in which judging is condemned. Now let's continue. All right, and the false teachers say, don't judge. Christ and God say, judge. Let's go to John 7:24. John 7:24, as it states, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. How do you judge righteous judgment? You yourself being a righteous man, applying that judgment in relation to God's word. If you judge in any situation, you have to be righteous yourself first and foremost. And when you apply that judgment, it has to be in regards to what God's word says about a specific issue. That's how you apply righteous judgment. But you are commanded to judge by Christ himself and God also. Let's continue to Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Yeah, when I smack like that, by the way, that's me swallowing, you know. And my lips smack together. My lips are sort of, you know, larger than normal. At least I've been told that about some women. And, you know, my mouth and my lips smack together and my tongue. And it makes that popping sound, you know, just for the record. You know, people will take that and twist it because they have twisted minds. But it goes on to say here in Romans 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, man, whosoever thou that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. How do you condemn yourself? Because when you judge, you do the same things as the person that you're judging. You corrupt yourself. How are you going to judge their situation? But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things, and think as though this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Well, you know, this is where the condemnation comes in. Because you're judging another person, and you're doing the same things that that person is doing, or even worse. That's, in that context, you cannot judge. But when you judge, as Christ emphasizes in John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. I could have used other verses also. In here, like in verses in Matthew 23, where Christ says that the Pharisees and the scribes have, you know, rejected the weightier matters of the law, which included faith, judgment, and love. One of the weightier matters of the law was judgment, Christ said in Matthew chapter 23, when he was condemning the Pharisees and the scribes. That's how important judgment is. It's emphasized by God, Christ, the apostles, and the prophets. The apostles and the prophets, God and Christ, say judge in righteousness. False ministers say judging is wrong. Okay? That's another way you identify false ministers. Now let's go to Romans 16, 17 through 18. As it states here, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple or the ignorant. So Paul commands us to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Don't have nothing to do with them. He says, why? Because for they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, they only serve their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple or the ignorant. So, false ministers teach against the doctrines, following the doctrines of God and Christ. They call that all that legalism. The apostles, the prophets, God and Christ say keep the doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ to give to you all, to give to us. We have to keep that doctrine. I could have added numerous other verses that support that. But the audio would have been too long, too bulky, and would have been more difficult to add to the site. All right? Let's continue. Let's go to Ephesians 5:10-13. Ephesians 5:10-13. As it states here, proven what is acceptable unto the Lord. I have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So the Bible is telling us here that we are to have nothing to do with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove means to expose. It goes on to say, for it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So whatever reveals or exposes, the Bible says, is light. So whatever exposes evil, that is light. That is love. Light is love. Love is light. So whatever exposes evil, that is light. False ministers say, don't expose the evil. Don't speak out against that. Don't say that thing like that. Don't talk about them, out them like that. Don't call it evil, because that's evil for you to call it evil. None of that is biblically supported. And if they try to make it seem like it's biblically supported, it's only because they're taking one or two verses in Scripture and completely taking them out of context. We're commanded by the Bible, by Christ, by God, to expose evil. And the Bible tells us in verse 13 here, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth reveals or exposes is light. So if you're exposing the evil, that's light, and that is something that we're commanded and encouraged to do by God and His Word. False ministers say, don't do that. All right? God, Christ, the apostles and the prophets say, expose the evil. Call the evil what it is. False ministers say, don't do that. False ministers say, don't believe what the Bible says. Believe what I say. True ministers, true prophets, true servants of God say, don't believe me. Believe God and His Word. Let's continue. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So false ministers, false apostles, they're transformed as ministers of righteousness. You know, they come smiling with all the niceties, with the big smiles, talking about love, 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 but at the same time, promoting rebellion, excuse me, promoting rebellion against God's commandments and His Word. This is what they do. They promote rebellion against God's Word and His commandments. And they put on the fronts with all the smiles and talking about love, 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 but they promote rebellion against God's law of love and rebellion against God, against God's Word, which is the foundation and expression of love. So false ministers, false prophets say, again, they come as woven sheep's clothing, ministers of righteousness as well. This is how we identify them. But you'll be able to identify them because, again, the false ministers are talking about love and they're smiling from ear to ear, but they're promoting rebellion against God's commandments, against His Word, and at the same time claiming to represent God in Christ. But the Bible says if a person does that, he don't have neither the Father or the Son. That's emphasized in 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. If you don't have that doctrine, or the doctrine that Christ gave to the disciples, He requires that we all follow. The Bible says they don't have the Father or the Son. We're about to get to that momentarily. Let's go to Galatians 5:24. As it states here, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. False ministers say no repentance is required. No repentance is required. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't enter heaven by works, but the Bible tells us that works is a requirement, that you're going to be judged by works. They say works is irrelevant. The Bible says in Revelation that you're going to be judged by your works in numerous other verses in Scripture. You're going to be judged by your works. If works are irrelevant to God, why the heck would He judge you by your works? If your works mean nothing, why would He judge you by your works? Your works are going to determine whether you're spared or acquitted. And if their works didn't matter and they didn't mean anything to God, why would God judge you by your works? Does that make any sense? All right. Another way you identify the false prophets and the false ministers is they say that repentance is not a requirement, but Paul tells us here in Galatians that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Them that are Christ have beaten down the flesh and bringing the flesh under subjection to the will of God and to the word of God. You know, that's further supported when Paul says that he beats his flesh down daily, bringing his flesh under subjection so he won't be a castaway. You know, supported by this verse here. Again, as the Bible interprets and supports itself. The false ministers say obedience is not a requirement. God's Christ, the apostles and prophets say absolute obedience. Not only, you know, they take it even further. Christ takes it even further. He says, now the keeping of the commandments is established on a more profound basis and requirement for keeping them. And keeping the word of God as a whole. The Bible tells us in Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4, that man is to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what Christ says. Man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right? That's what's required. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is the whole Bible. That's what we're required to live by. But false ministers say that's not a requirement. That's how you know false ministers. It's important that you take these things to heart, because if not, you will continue to follow these false ministers to your destruction. Unfortunately, many are going to hear all this clearly outlined information. They're going to go running right back to the false ministers. And why? Because the false ministers tell them what they want to hear. Tell them what they want to hear. Now let's continue to 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19. As it states here, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Again, absolute obedience, departing from all sin, is a requirement. It is emphasized once again. We covered that in the previous audio. What was the new covenant established on? And, you know, in other audios. Again, it's always about obedience. It's always about separating ourselves from sin, from evil doing. All right? The Bible tells us here, let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from evil. Let's continue to 2 Timothy 4:3-4. As it states here, for the time will come when they will not endure in sound doctrine. God's doctrine is what's being emphasized. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, as I just covered just a minute ago. They're looking for people to tell them what they want to hear. They don't want to hear sound doctrine that says depart from all this evil behavior. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear somebody that tells them that their evil behavior is okay. But it goes on to say, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, that's an interesting verse, and that's something else, you know, because that basically tells God all he needs to know about you. You know, if you are, you don't want to endure sound doctrine. In other words, you don't want to hear anything about God's doctrines. You know, and you're looking for somebody to tell you that it's okay to continue to sin the way you're doing, whatever your brand of sin is. You know, whether it's one single thing that you're struggling with, or just multiple forms of sin that you're enslaved and shackled by. You know, that you don't want to hear God's doctrines, but you want to continue in your own sin, guided by your lust, motivated and driven by your lust. That tells God that you hate the truth and that you love evil and you want to continue in your evil way. That's all that tells God. And that's how he's going to judge you when you face him in the judgment. It says a lot about you. Let's continue to Titus chapter 1, 14 through 16. Titus 1, 14 through 16. As it states here, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. Bible tells us here, again, that they deny God by their evil behavior. You know, that the behavior is abominable and disobedient, and they're reprobate in regards to every good work. In other words, they're completely ignorant about what good works are. you know, because they believe that it's not even a requirement, you know, and they're so good and they're so accustomed to doing evil, and they've become so good at doing evil that they don't know nothing about good works and how you even do good works, you know, because they're so programmed to do evil and to live a life in rebellion and defiance of God's commandments and word. So they're absolutely ignorant as it relates to good works. The Bible tells us that obedience, righteousness is a requirement. Let's continue. False ministers say it's not a requirement. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ verbally, not understanding that a simple verbal acceptance of Jesus Christ is not true acceptance of God in Christ. True acceptance of God in Christ is following everything that they tell you to do. That's what Christ tells us in Luke 6:46, that why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command you to do? Let's continue to 1 John 3:10. It states here, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. The Bible is telling us that if you don't do righteousness, you're not of God. And that's how you know the difference between a person that's following Satan and a person that's following God. A person that's a child of God and a person that's a child of Satan. A person that is a child of God is going to be doing righteousness, living righteously. A person that is a child of Satan is going to be living contrary to the Bible, which is how you define righteousness. Righteousness is defined by you following what is outlined in God's word in relation to keeping the commandments and the word of God as a whole. And that is how proper moral behavior is defined. That is how you define righteousness. You following what is outlined in the Bible as it pertains to righteous behavior. That's how you define it. And if you're not doing that, you're not a child of God. You're a child of the devil. So false ministers tell you that righteousness is a requirement because you can't enter into the kingdom through works. But works is an absolute requirement. And they've just taken those particular verses completely out of context, again, because they've applied their own personal interpretation to the word of God. Normally just one verse that they take completely out of context. One or two. You know, numerous other verses that put those particular verses that they take out of context in their proper perspective, in their proper context. So if you're not living righteously, you're not of God. You're of the devil. This is what God's word says. False ministers say you don't have to live righteously, but yet you're still of God. God and Christ, the Bible, apostles and prophets. So you have to live righteously to be considered a servant and a child of God. False ministers say otherwise. They say, no, that's not a requirement. You can disobey the commandments and the word of God as a whole and still be a son and daughter of God. But the people buy into it, because they tell them what they want to hear. Let's go to 4:1-6. 4:1-6. As it states, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now they'll use this particular verse and take it completely out of context like they do with everything else. This particular verse that says, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. So they'll use that and say, that's all you need. As long as you're confessing that Jesus has come in the flesh, then you're of God. Nothing else is required. Let's go to 2 John chapter 7, 7 through 11. Again, that's 2 John 7 through 11. As it states here. So we're going to get the proper context of that. You know, that is, it's more than just confessing that Jesus came in the flesh. Much more is required. Okay, let's proceed. It states here, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. That's the truth. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And what is it talking about? The things which we have wrought. It's talking about the behavior that we've developed, the righteous character that we've developed, the fruits that have been birthed from that righteous character and behavior. That's what it's talking about. All right. And, you know, it's going to confirm that here momentarily. It goes on to say, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. All right, so the Bible is explaining us here that it's much more than just confessing that Jesus Christ came in the flesh to be considered a child of God. It goes on to emphasize what it actually means here. It says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he don't have God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. It said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If you don't abide in God's doctrine, which is Christ's doctrine, because God gave it to him, you don't have God. All right? So that it's in that context. You confess that Jesus came in the flesh, along with keeping the doctrine that Christ gave, that God gave to Christ. If you don't, you don't have God. And it's not just speaking about the Word of God as a whole, because again, Christ also told us in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4 that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That includes the doctrines God gave to Christ and the Bible as a whole. It goes on to say, for if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. I mean, as you see how the Bible confirms, justifies, and supports itself, the clear points that have been outlined in these particular verses, as the Bible supports, confirms, and interprets and justifies itself, all the things you need to know and you need to take to heart in terms of how to identify false teachers and false prophets. False prophets prophesy messages of peace when God says destruction is coming because of the rebellion. False prophets teach against the commandments and the Word of God as a whole, call it legalism and not necessary. God, Christ, the apostles and prophets say that keeping the commandments and the Word of God is an absolute requirement to be considered righteous in their eyes. False prophets reject the doctrines of Christ. Christ, the apostles and prophets say it's an absolute requirement to be considered righteous in God's eyes, you know, and so much more. You know, I could have added numerous other verses in this particular audio, but again, it would have been too long. But I hope I've made the point clear. And, you know, the ball is in your court at this point. If you continue to follow